Very beautiful to see. Shashvat. Eternal. Sarvaloka. By all the inhabitants of every planet. Namakritam. Worshipable. Shantam. Situated. Vayashi. In youth. Kaishore. In boyhood. Vritya. Upon his devotee. Anugraha. To bestow blessings. Kataram. Eager. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord is eternally very beautiful, and he is worshipable by all the inhabitants of every planet. He is ever youthful and always eager to bestow his blessings upon his devotees. Please repeat. The Lord is eternally very beautiful.
The Lord is eternally very beautiful.
And he is worshipable.
And he is worshipable.
By all the inhabitants of every planet.
By all the inhabitants of every planet.
He is ever youthful.
He is ever youthful.
And always eager.
And always eager.
To bestow his blessings.
To bestow his blessings.
Upon his devotees.
Upon his devotees.
Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada. The word Sarvaloka Namaskritam means that he is worshipable by everyone on every planet. There are innumerable planets in the material world and innumerable planets in the spiritual world as well. On each planet there are innumerable inhabitants who worship the Lord, for the Lord is worshipable by all but the impersonalists. The Supreme Lord is very beautiful. The word Shashvat is significant. It is not that he appears beautiful to the devotees, but is ultimately impersonal. Shashvat means ever-existing. The beauty is not temporary, it is ever-existing. He is always youthful. In the Brahma Samhita 5.33 it is also stated, Advaitam Achutam Anadam Anantarupam Adyam Puranam Purusham. Leaders. Generally, people look up to leaders. And why do they look up to leaders? I mean, after all, most of us know that if someone to become a leader, he has to be a politician, a cheat, a rogue, a scoundrel. Because to get top in the political arena, one has to be very, very shifty and careful and planning and plotting and bring down your enemies. So many in politics is known to be a very dirty business. So why would you think that the leader should be very good? Why should people look up to a leader? This was the argument with Clinton, that the man is doing a job, but he didn't come here to teach us morality. Now, Vedic literature explained that the leader of society, Krishna says that the monarch, the ruler, is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, because the king represents God, he's called Rajarishi. So Rajarishi, Rishi means a great saint or a sage. Raja means king. So a Rishi amongst the kings, or a saint amongst the kings. And generally, you will find that in aristocratic circles, in royal circles, generally they're quite beautiful. Aristocracy, if you study aristocracy, what they call in England, they have the aristocracy. What do they call? They have a name for them, the Hooray Henrys. They call them in Chelsea, the Hooray Henrys. Or the Sloan Rangers. They have all sorts of names for them. They're generally wealthy, very beautiful. The girls are always coming from aristocratic family, very beautiful. And generally, we can understand that very high birth. So beauty is there, wealth is there. They're quite educated, knowledgeable. They have these qualifications. So from these people, generally the leaders are expected to emerge. Those who have been educated at Eton and Harrow and all the big schools and colleges and gone to Harvard, and they're the ones that are going to lead society, or expected to lead society. So what people look for in a person is quality. They look for the quality. What is the qualifications of a person? So this beauty is not just a facial thing. We don't study beauty just purely as something that's skin deep. But beauty is a very, very deep thing. The beauty of a person is in their personality, not just in their facial construction or their physical construction, but it's actually in their personality. So someone who would be very beautiful would be a very exceptional personality, isn't it? Would that be a good point? Or would it just be in their face? So a supreme personality. Now we get into the psychology. What is a supreme personality? A supreme personality means that has supreme qualities. You see? You study what is supreme. Something which is superior, something which is supreme. So therefore, when we talk about supreme, something which is supreme, something which is super, supernatural, supernatural beauty, supernatural strength, supernatural wealth. You notice the word supernatural? What is the meaning of supernatural? Something beyond nature. Isn't it? Because if you say natural, if you said natural beauty, that could be anyone. Isn't it? Natural beauty is relative. Someone could say that I'm beautiful. Someone else say, no, he's ugly. You can't. Natural, but supernatural. So this word super, in English language, English language is not very good, because when it goes beyond the mundane, it's lost. The word super is about as far as you can get. So the Sanskrit language is much more superior, because the if you study the nature of Sanskrit, of course there's very many deep meanings, but we use the word Bhagavan. Bhagavan, Bhaga means where there is supernatural opulences, Bhaga. Now, supernatural opulences, not natural opulences, but supernatural. So, therefore, the word here is used, apichadarshanam. Now, apichadarshanam means very, very beautiful to see, but at the same time, the word is not used, Bhagavan, apichadarshanam is used, because if you study the next two words, Shashvat Sarvaloka, means that the Supreme Personality is so beautiful that he's worshipped by everyone on all the planets. Now that is something extra special. Just like on this planet there might be a few big personalities, Prime Minister, are executive heads. But here we're talking about a personality who is worshipped by every single inhabitant within every planet, within the universe. Now, if we understand from Vedic literature that there are billions upon trillions of universes, and that's the material world, and then the spiritual world is again three times greater. That means that the material world is unlimited, but the spiritual world is three times more unlimited than the material world. Now, on all of those planets, there is one actual worshipable object. That is inconceivable, isn't it? Because that is why it's so difficult for the impersonalist to conceive of God. How can one person command the complete adoration of inconceivable amount of living entities? Now you might be able to attract a few women or a few men, or you may be able to attract half the country. If you're really good, you might even get the whole country. But to get the whole planet, that's a big achievement. We don't know in the history of mankind of any one human being who has attracted the attention of all, or adoration, not just attention, adoration of everyone on the planet. So therefore, in the material world, we see that there is always competition. That the one person becomes the most beautiful person. May not be so beautiful later on. That's why women get into great anxiety when age comes on, because they start to look, what is it called, wrinkly and saggy, baggy, saggy, isn't it? Some people, when they're very fat, they get saggy also, or baggy, isn't it? So when there's some facial bagginess or bodily bagginess or fagginess or fattiness or whatever, people get very disturbed. Ooh. Suddenly something's missing, something's going away. So we can understand that that ugliness is the real feature of material world. The real nature of the material world is that it's actually ugly, because a dead body is ugly. And it will deteriorate, it will start to disintegrate, and generally it'll become the food. Most material things, they're the food for someone. So we are eating vegetables, some people are eating animals, and when we die, we'll get eaten by worms. So this is the nature of the material world. There's very little beauty in the material world, but on account of the presence of consciousness, therefore beauty is there when there is consciousness. So therefore, the Vedas explain that consciousness comes from the soul. And the soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because this soul is part and parcel of God, therefore the soul has godly qualities. By nature there is godly qualities. Just like everyone would like to have godly qualities. But isn't it true, Ravi, that we don't all have godly qualities? Wouldn't you agree with that? Would you say that how many people have godly qualities that you've met? Actual godly qualities. Very few. In your lifetime you've only met very few. How many? Can you count them? Huh?
Maybe 10.
10. You've met 10 godly people. Mm-hmm. Who else has met very godly people in their life? That you would say saintly, isn't it? They call it saintly. So if you study in all religions, the idea of saintliness should be peacefulness, gentleness, self-control, tolerance, simplicity, isn't it? Lack of arrogance. So the qualities that people look for in a saintly person, just like many times politicians misbehave, and then they say, am I supposed to be a saint? President Clinton also said that. He said that. They were saying about President Clinton, I didn't get the job to teach morality. I got the job to run the economy, to run the country, but not to teach morality. See? So that was their excuse for his misbehavior. So the people are looking for heroes. Everybody's looking for a hero, isn't it? And generally when someone's attractive, they think that, oh, this guy must be something special because he's attractive. Or if a woman is attractive, you think there must be something special there. So leaders, generally, people look up to leaders. And why do they look up to leaders? I mean, after all, most of us know that if someone to become a leader, he has to be a politician, a cheat, a rogue, a scoundrel. Because to get top in the political arena, one has to be very, very shifty and careful and planning and plotting and bring down your enemies. So many, in politics, is known to be a very dirty business. So why would you think that the leader should be very good? Why should people look up to a leader? This was the argument with Clinton, that The man is doing a job, but he didn't come here to teach us morality. Now, Vedic literatures explain that the leader of society, Krishna says that the monarch, the ruler, is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, because the king represents God, he's called Rajarishi. So Rajarishi, Rishi means a great saint or sage. Raja means king. So a Rishi amongst the kings, or a saint amongst the kings. And generally, you will find that in aristocratic circles, in royal circles, generally they're quite beautiful. Aristocracy, if you study aristocracy, what they call in England, they have the aristocracy. What do they call? They have a name for them, the Hooray Henrys. They call them in Chelsea, the Hooray Henrys. Or the Sloan Rangers. They have all sorts of names for them. They're generally wealthy, very beautiful. The girls are always coming from aristocratic family, very beautiful. And generally, we can understand that very high birth. So beauty is there, wealth is there, they're quite educated, knowledgeable. They have these qualifications. So from these people, generally the leaders are expected to emerge. Those who have been educated at Eton and Harrow, and all the big schools and colleges and gone to Harvard, and they're the ones that are going to lead society or expected to lead society. So what people look for in a person is quality. They look for the quality. What is the qualifications of a person? So this beauty is not just a facial thing. We don't study beauty just purely as something that's skin deep. But beauty is a very, very deep thing. The beauty of a person is in their personality, not just in their facial construction or their physical construction, but it's actually in their personality. So someone who would be very beautiful would be a very exceptional personality, isn't it? Would that be a good point? Or would it just be in their face? So, a supreme personality. Now we get into the psychology. What is a supreme personality? A supreme personality means that has supreme qualities. You see? You study what is supreme. Something which is superior, something which is supreme. So, therefore, when we talk about supreme, something which is supreme, something which is super, supernatural, supernatural beauty, supernatural strength, supernatural wealth. You notice the word supernatural? What is the meaning of supernatural? Something beyond nature, isn't it? Because if you say natural, if you said natural beauty, that could be anyone. Isn't it? Natural beauty is relative. Someone could say that I'm beautiful. Someone else say, no, he's ugly. You can't. Natural, but supernatural. So this word super, in English language is not very good, because when it goes beyond the mundane, it's lost. The word super is about as far as you can get. So, the Sanskrit language is much more superior, because the if you study the nature of Sanskrit, of course, there's very many deep meanings, but we use the word Bhagavan. Bhagavan, Bhaga means where there is supernatural opulences. Bhaga. Now, supernatural opulences, not natural opulences, but supernatural. So, therefore, the word here is used, apichadarshanam. Now, apichadarshanam means very, very beautiful to see, But at the same time, the word is not used, Bhagavan, Pichadarshanam is used, because if you study the next two words, Shashvat Sarvaloka, means that the Supreme Personality is so beautiful that he's worshipped by everyone on all the planets. Now that is something extra special. Just like on this planet there might be a few big personalities, prime minister or executive heads. But here we're talking about a personality who is worshipped by every single inhabitant within every planet, within the universe. Now, if we understand from Vedic literature that there are billions upon trillions of universes, and that's the material world, and then the spiritual world is again three times greater. That means that the material world is unlimited, but the spiritual world is three times more unlimited than the material world. Now, on all of those planets, there is one actual worshipable object. That is inconceivable, isn't it? Because that is why it's so difficult for the impersonalist to conceive of God. How can one person command the complete adoration of inconceivable amount of living entities? Now you might be able to attract a few women or a few men, or you may be able to attract half the country. If you're really good, you might even get the whole country. But to get the whole planet, that's a big achievement. We don't know in the history of mankind of any one human being who has attracted the attention of all, or adoration, not just attention, adoration of everyone on the planet. So therefore, in the material world, we see that there is always competition. That the one person becomes the most beautiful person, they call them, or whatever, then people are attracted. But there's also some people who think they're ugly, or they don't like the way that they did this and that. If you notice, when people become movie stars, then the media immediately starts to try and find some dirt, isn't it? They immediately want to find out, well, did they do this when they were young? Did they take drugs? Did they try to get out of the army? They try to look for some, what is called, imperfections in that person. And the more powerful a person comes, the more the media digs deeper and deeper and deeper to find some imperfection. Why? Because of enviousness. Everyone in the material world is envious of everyone else. So as soon as anyone's any more better than you, you want to destroy them. You want to actually humiliate them. That's why people love to read when these big people fall flat on their face. They love reading about it. They get so much excitement. Why? Because they're envious. They're envious because some person is coming up and they're living like kings. They have lots of money. They're very popular. They're very wealthy, very famous. And suddenly they find out that this person actually is suffering from some disease, or they have some personality deformity, they're perverts, or they're sexual maniacs, or they're mad, or they beat their wife, or they steal from shops. Anything they can find, and then they go, ha, great, that's a relief. That's a relief. They're just human like me. So actually sometimes they sympathize with them when they're more human. But the idea of them being supernatural, this is not there. The only supernatural personality would be considered in human society would be Jesus Christ. Why? Because he did supernatural things. So supernatural, he cured the sick, he made people from sinners to good people. He distributed some knowledge. He was very kind and gentle, etc. So we see that when some personality comes along who has exceptional powers or exceptional abilities or exceptional, then people are very eager to worship that person, adore that person. So this is a natural inclination of the living entity. The living entity is part and parcel of God, and because he's part and parcel of God, he is a fragmental portion, 1/10,000 part of the tip of a hair. Very tiny, isn't it? It's not very much. So that tiny little fragmental atomic portion is by nature automatically attracted to the complete and unlimited personality of God. So God is infinite, the living entity is infinitesimal. God is infinite and we are infinitesimal. And we have a lot of difficulty accepting our infinitesimal nature because nobody wants to be insignificant. Everybody has a nature of significance, that we want to be significant. The reason being is because we are part of the significant. Now, if you study significance and insignificance, the material world is actually insignificant. Insignificant in the sense that it has inferior qualities. Inferior qualities. In the material world, the living entity experiences inferior experience. If we talk about the material world, we talk about experience, isn't it? What is our existence in the material world? It's different types of experiences. Isn't it, Ravi? Different types of experiences. Sometimes we experience happiness, sometimes we experience distress, sometimes we experience loss, sometimes we experience gain, sometimes we experience knowledge, sometimes we experience ignorance, sometimes we become passionate, we experience passion, sometimes we experience anger, sometimes we experience frustration, sometimes we experience love, sometimes we experience hate, envy, illusion. So these are all different types of experience, but they are all inadequate experience. We want adequate experience, but we are trying to get adequate experience from an inadequate energy. Inadequate energy. Just like we want to be beautiful, but the body is not beautiful. It's not beautiful. We want it to be beautiful. Everyone would like to say, I've got a beautiful body, perfect. Perfect proportions, perfect dimensions, perfect abilities. If someone actually stood up in front of 50,000 people and said, I'm the most perfect species you've ever seen, then a lot of people would just simply laugh or at least reject as an egotistic maniac, isn't it? As soon as you become self-righteous or proud about your body, you become a victim of what is called egotism. And nobody likes egotism. Therefore they call them egomaniacs, egocentrics, proud, or whatever word you want to use. So we can understand that the reason that people cannot take seriously one's claim to perfection is because everyone knows that everyone is imperfect. Everyone knows that everyone is imperfect. So when you claim perfection, people are not very convinced. Everyone can say I'm perfect, but everyone knows they're imperfect. So therefore, religiosity has difficulty, because when we're talking about the all-perfect God must be all-perfect. Then how can we conceive of the all-perfect within our imperfect experience of the material world? You see, this is not possible. So how can we talk about the all-perfect? We can only simply imagine. So everyone has a different imagination of God. Most people think of God that he should have perfect power. God should be perfectly powerful. If God wasn't perfectly powerful, that would mean there's something greater than God. So people can easily accept that God should have all power, isn't it? Allah Akbar, God is great, God is the most powerful. And the idea that God should possess a lot of energy, or at least unlimited energy, that could also be accepted within the human experience. Because energy is observable by us, so therefore the idea that God should be all energetic, all powerful, God is great. But how great is God? That is the difficulty. How great is God? Could God be so great that he could attract completely and utterly the hearts and minds of all created living entities? Now, that attraction to God must be completely and utterly, powerful. You can't be half attracted to God. You can't be half attracted. If you're half attracted to God, that means the other half must be more powerful. If you understand what attraction means. What does attraction mean? When we talk about attraction, attraction is a surrender. When you're attracted to something, you surrender to that thing. There's a tendency to surrender. Just like when you're attracted to a very beautiful woman, you're ready to surrender your money. A man, when he's attracted to a woman, he's ready to spend money on her, isn't it? He's ready to buy her a house, a car, a nice, take her on shopping sprees, isn't he? He's ready to do the gardening for her. He's ready to go out and work for her, get a job. He's ready to be at the desk at 8 o'clock in the morning and make sure that all the things are done very nicely, so as that he can come home at the end of the week and offer his wages to the wife. Many people do that. As soon as they walk in the door, they hand her the wages. Sometimes the wife is called the friendly thief. Just like if someone pickpockets you, you become angry, you want to hit them on the head. Why did you take my wallet? But if your wife takes your wallet, oh, that's all right, darling, you buy what you like. Don't worry. You want some more? I'll get it my credit card. So that's the nature, because there is this attraction. When one is attracted, attraction is intoxicating. That one surrenders, we can see the symptoms of something which is very attractive. What is the nature of something of very attractive? That you want it. You want to have that thing. You want to possess that thing. You want to enjoy that thing. Something which is attractive. Now, when there is deep attraction, there is a type of madness. What we call obsession. One becomes obsessed. Sometimes we see that a boy becomes obsessed with a girl. He can't stop thinking about her. He can't live without her. He has to keep phoning her up, going around. Sometimes this drives the girl mad. And sometimes vice versa, the girl is attracted to a boy, and sometimes they have to take him to court and have them restrained by police officers. Yes. And when someone becomes obsessed, that means that there is some peculiarity in the relationship, that there's some intense attraction. Now, if you can imagine that the living entity is made up of a certain energy, so we have to understand what is that energy. Therefore, the Vedas say, Atata Brahma Jignasya. Atata means now that you have this developed consciousness, Brahma Jignasya. What is the meaning of Brahma Jignasya? Means that Jignasya means try now to understand what is Brahman. Try now to understand in this human form of life what is Brahman. Because in the material world, everyone is trying to understand matter. They're trying to understand the material world. They're trying to have a relationship with the material world. They're trying to reciprocate with the material world. So therefore, this reciprocation with matter is called eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This is the natural, this is called anamoya, this foodstuffs, dependency upon foodstuffs. just like you're naturally attracted to foodstuffs. So therefore, one is always ready to pay for foodstuffs, isn't it? Nobody has a problem going in and paying for foodstuffs. You see? Because you're naturally attracted to that thing. You want that thing, so you're willing to sacrifice for that thing. So if we study that this attraction, this attractive nature, the Brahman, the living entity, is attracted to the Parabrahman. Parabrahman means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahman. So therefore it says that Ishvara Parama Krishna. These are very important words, Brahma Samhita. There's some very nice description of Lord Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Sachit Ananda Vigraha and Ade Ade Govinda Sarvakarna Karna. Actually, all Vedantic philosophy practically is in that one verse. That the what we call the Ishvara. Ishvara means the complete controller. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Parama means the supreme controller. There are many controllers, there are many personalities in this material world. But there is only one Ishvara. Because you cannot have two Ishvaras, or three Ishvaras, or four Ishvaras. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda. Sat Chit Ananda means that God's body is Sat. Now what is the meaning of Sat? Sat means that thing which is ever existing. So therefore, if it's ever existing, it can't be material, can it? If God's body is ever existing, it cannot be material, because there's nothing in the material world that is ever existing. It is not only ever existing, but that word Sat means that it is perfect and complete. Something which exists in perfection. In the material world, things are existing within imperfection. But in the spiritual world, something is existing within perfection. The difference between the material world and the spiritual world is that the difference between limited and the unlimited. So God is unlimitedly perfect. He is Sat Chit. Chit means that he is fully cognizant. Fully cognizant. That means full, unlimited consciousness. We have a partial consciousness, just like I'm conscious of my body. Within my body, I'm conscious of ability to do certain things. I might be conscious of the mechanics or electronics. I may be conscious of mathematics. I may be conscious of how to do business. I may be conscious about how to drive a car. I may be conscious of how to build a house, how to do so many. These are different consciousness. But my consciousness is very limited to the body, an extension of the body. But I cannot say that I'm unlimitedly conscious. If I was unlimitedly conscious, then I would know how to do everything. In other words, I would know how to create universes, how to maintain them, how to destroy them, how to create billions of living entities, how to create so many varieties of species of life, how to create sun. Just like if I said to you, can you create a sun? Can anyone here create a sun? Why not? Why can't you create a sun? What is the problem? What's the problem creating a sun? Huh? Because you don't have the knowledge. You don't have the consciousness to do it. If you were conscious of how the sun was created, you could do it. Why not? Just like you can't create a car because you don't know how to. It's not that a car is impossible to create. You cannot create a jumbo jet. But does that mean that nobody can create a jumbo jet? So it simply means different knowledge, isn't it? Your knowledge and the person who can create the jumbo jet is different. Therefore, there is superior knowledge that can create planets. You see? If there wasn't superior knowledge to create planets, then how could they be created? This is the arguments with the impersonalists. They say that they happen by accident. But if you say a whole planet happens by accident, but yet everything within the planet requires some knowledge, isn't it? Just like if you want to grow something, you have to plant it, you have to water it, you have to see, you have to do so many things. You can't say that that plant is coming automatically. So when the tiny living entity cannot conceive of that type of knowledge, it cannot conceive of that type of power, it cannot understand that there could be a personality who has the ability to create everything. Why? Because within our ability we are so limited. So it is like a tiny germ trying to understand the universe. There's no question, because the knowledge is not there. So therefore chit means that God has unlimited quality of consciousness, and therefore because he has unlimited consciousness, he has unlimited potentiality. This is called achintya shakti. And the other quality of God, which is very important, is ananda. Ananda moya vyasa. That God should also possess unlimited pleasurable potency. In other words, unlimited pleasure. Ananda. So, if we study the material world, what do we find about the material world? What are the chief characteristics of the material world? One, that it is asat. Now, what is the meaning of asat?
Non-existent.
Asat, yes, in one sense, non-existent. Asat means temporary, or that which doesn't exist for a very long time. Asat. And achit. Asat, achit. What is the meaning of achit?
Ignorance.
Ignorance. Full of ignorance. So the material world is achit, asat, achit, and nirananda. What is the meaning of nirananda? It means there's no happiness. So Vedic literatures explain that the material world is the complete opposite of the spiritual world. Here there is no real consciousness. There is no existence. There is no consciousness, and there is no pleasure. And the last quality is vigraha. So this form of God means vigraha. Vigraha means form. And what is the nature of form in the material world?
Emotions.
The forms in the material world are different degrees of inadequacy. Inadequate form. Everybody wants to be adequate, but we find that our forms are inadequate. Just like I want to attract all the girls. When I want to walk down the street, I want the girls to be swooning and hitting lampposts and falling down and just stunned. I want them to stand there stunned, falling over one after, just as I walk down the street. Can you imagine how proud you would be if you could do that? As you walk down the street, all the women faint. Then you'd be thinking, what they call a lady killer. But in actuality, most people would probably look away from me. That's the problem. They'd probably look and go, and they'd walk on. So therefore, this is inadequate form. The form we get in the material world is not very adequate for what we want. We want a very beautiful form. We want to be perfect. Perfect form, perfect consciousness, perfect happiness, perfect knowledge. But we are finding imperfect. Therefore, very difficult to understand that God is unlimited in beauty, unlimited in form. unlimited. Therefore, dvaita machutyam manadam anantarubam adyam puranam purusham navayovanam cha. The original person is one without a second, yet he never appears old. The Supreme Personality of God, it appears very beautiful form. But most people, they have not seen a beautiful form in true sense. So therefore, they relatively think, if you say God has form, then they think, oh, well, he must look like this, or he must look like that. So that means that one is using these inadequate forms to try and understand God. And that's not very intelligent. Therefore, it is said that when God reveals himself within the heart of the devotee, then the devotee is completely immersed in transcendental ecstasy. That transcendental ecstasy, this was displayed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew that in Kali Yuga, people are all impersonalists. Kali Yuga is full of impersonalism. Therefore we say nirvishesha sunyavadi. Sunyavadi means that the nirvishesha, that the impersonalist philosophy, this impersonalist philosophy is that they have rejected the idea of God as a person because they feel there's some inadequacy in that. They feel that if God is a person, then he must be somehow limited. He must be somehow defective. Because they think that form is defective. What they don't understand is material form in the material world is defective. But spiritual form in the spiritual world is perfect. And when we talk about perfect, we have no experience of perfect. So we can't really discuss it. We can't talk about the spiritual world because it's like the living in a dark well trying to talk about the blazing sun. If you lived in darkness, how can you talk about light? So because we exist within the dark, limited environment of the material world, and within that world, all of our experience is asat, achit, and nirananda, full of imperfections.